Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great to have you with us here on this Friday, where we are at the end of a two-week series on Hope by Derek Prince, and it has been a glorious time as we've been learning truths really that Derek mined out of the scriptures through his own battles with depression and the dark night of the soul. Derek has been teaching us about putting on the helmet of hope here yesterday, and today we're going to wrap up this two-week-long series on hope by exploring another important function of Bible-based hope, and that's how hope is an anchor to our souls, one of the great phrases from Scripture. And so be sure and get something to write with. Be sure and get your Bible. Listen to these truths, and remember that we have to rehearse these truths once we hear them. Again, psychologists tell us that we have to listen to a one-hour teaching seven times before we actually hear every word and get it into our minds. So if you want to do that, you can log on to our website at derekprince.org. You'll be able to listen to this teaching. You'll be able to listen to other teachings. Of course, you can find out a great deal about Derek Prince Ministries and what's going on in the world. Now, today, as I say, Derek's going to be talking about hope as an anchor to our souls. This is one of the most important aspects of hope. I'm glad he saved it for the end right here on this last day. So let's listen as Derek teaches us about hope as an anchor to the soul.
In my talk yesterday, I shared on hope as a helmet, a vital piece of spiritual armor that protects our minds. I spoke of my own personal struggle against depression and of the double remedy that God showed me. First of all, God identified the power that was oppressing me, the spirit of heaviness. Then God showed me, first of all, that I could be delivered. He gave me Joel 2:32, "Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered." I called on the name of the Lord, I was delivered. Then the Lord showed me that I needed to protect my mind against that dark force and that I needed the helmet of salvation. And when I looked in Ephesians 6 and saw that there was a helmet of salvation, I still didn't know what it was. But when I turned to 1 Thessalonians 5:8, I found that the helmet of salvation is hope. And so I learned to train my mind, to reprogram my mind from being a habitual pessimist. I became a convinced, Bible-believing optimist, and now I keep that helmet of hope on my mind, day and night. Well, in my talk today, I'm going to present you with another beautiful picture of hope as an anchor of the soul. I'm going to read quite a lengthy passage from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 through 20, which actually gives us two pictures of hope. The first one is as the horns of an altar, and then the second one is as an anchor of the soul. I'll go back a little bit in this sixth chapter to give you the context and the background. Hebrews 6, beginning at verse 11, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end." Notice the emphasis is on hope and maintaining hope till the end, which I spoke about last week, "that you may not be sluggish or lazy, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." And then the writer goes to the example of Abraham. "For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you.' And thus, having patiently waited, Abraham obtained the promise." And then the writer goes on to explain why God swore, why he gave an oath. "For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as confirmation is an end of every dispute. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeability of his purpose, interposed with an oath." Some translators say interposed himself with an oath. Going on, "in order that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement. We who have fled for refuge in laying hold of the hope set before us. Notice there some of the teaching in that verse before I complete the reading. Hope must be maintained until the end, and it's associated with diligence, faith, perseverance, and patience. In fact, hope is the key to perseverance and patience. And then notice that God desires our confidence be based on two unchangeable things. The first is His Word. The second is His oath. His Word really is sufficient, but in certain situations to encourage us, to convince us that He absolutely means what He says and He'll never go back on it. He first gives His Word and then confirms it by His oath. And then the writer of Hebrews says about that, in order that, by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement, we who have fled for refuge, in laying hold of the hope set before us.
You know, sometimes it's a very tender thing to see how God uses so many images to communicate a truth to us. And as Derek's just been teaching in Hebrews 6, God presents hope both as the horns of an altar and as an anchor to the soul. Powerful, transforming truth. I hope you're getting all of it down, and I hope you'll rehearse it again and again. There's so much more to come, including a special guest with us today as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
It may be a feeling you just can't shake. Plenty of frustration and irritation, but hardly any lasting satisfaction. What causes this gloom? In his classic teaching, Release from the Curse, Derek Prince explores the possible spiritual reasons why your life may lack the sunshine of God's blessings. In this special audio CD teaching, Derek explains the reality and nature of curses and blessings, presents a wealth of scripture identifying true curses, and expertly explains how to be free of them. For a limited time, we want you to have a copy as our way of saying thank you for your gift of any amount. Call 800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Thank you for your financial support of Derek Prince Legacy Radio. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or send your gift securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and we are at the last segment of the last day in the last week of our two-week series on hope that Derek Prince has been teaching us. It's been wonderful. I love this emphasis on hope as an anchor to the soul, a hope that holds us solid in the shifting seas of our society. It's a powerful and transforming truth. Let's listen as Derek continues to teach us about hope.
And there's the first picture of hope there. It's the refuge. Now, we have to understand that's taken from an Old Testament custom. When a man was being pursued by his enemy who was out to take his life, there was one place where he was guaranteed security. If he could run to the altar of God and catch hold of the horns of the altar, for on the altar there were four horns, one at each corner, then no one dared to pull that man away from the horns of the altar. And the writer of Hebrews says, hope is like that. When the enemy is pursuing you, when he's almost breathing down your neck, when you feel there's no way of escape, the place of refuge is the horns of the altar. Find it, cling on to it. What are the horns of the altar? The hope that God has given us. In these two immutable things, the first His Word, the second His oath. So if today you feel pressured, you wonder where to turn, I recommend you turn to the altar, the place of sacrifice that represents the death of Jesus Christ on our behalf, and lay hold of the horns of hope that come out of that altar, and you'll be secure. The enemy and the avenger will not be able to follow you there. Now we're going to look at the second picture of hope, which is given us there in the sixth chapter of Hebrews. This is in verse 19 and 20. I think this is the most beautiful of all the pictures of hope. It's one that means so much to me personally because of my own struggles in this area over the past. This is what the writer of Hebrews says. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. That's the second veil into the Holy of Holies, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So here, hope is pictured as an anchor of the soul, and it's described as sure and steadfast, and it enters in within the veil. It passes out of time into eternity. It's fastened in the rock of ages, in the very presence of Almighty God. Now, when I was struggling with this problem of mine, and I found this beautiful passage, by background, I was a philosopher, so I was used to analyzing things and considering them logically. And I said to myself, it's an anchor. And then I said, what needs an anchor? What kind of thing needs an anchor? And then I said to myself, a boat needs an anchor. And I said, why does a boat need an anchor? Because a boat is made to float on water. And water is a totally unstable element. There is nothing in water that you can fasten to that will hold you secure. And so in order to be held secure, the boat has to pass its anchor through the water into some other secure thing that will hold it. A best example is the rock. And then I thought about my own life, and I said to myself this, I'm like that little boat. I'm there, tossed to and fro on the waves. I'm in a world of the temporal, of the impermanent, of the insecure. There's nothing in this world that I can fasten to that will guarantee me security. So I have to have an anchor that passes out of time into eternity, passes out of the temporal, the material, the unstable, the changeable, out of that whole element into something that is permanent, unchangeable, totally stable and secure, out of time into eternity. What is that anchor? And then I saw so clearly, so beautifully, that anchor is the hope that I have in Jesus. It's not restricted to time. It doesn't depend upon material things. Its security is not found in the frailty of human beings and human institutions. It's based on two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, His word and His oath. And so I can pass my anchor right out of time into the immediate presence of God within that second veil. And there Jesus has already entered, my personal representative, my forerunner, my high priest. I'm not limited to this world. I'm not limited to the things of time. They're all transient. They're going to pass away. But my anchor of eternal hope reaches out beyond this world and into the immediate presence of God. And then it's so blessed that the writer of Hebrews says, where Jesus, our forerunner, has entered for us, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. You know what the function of a high priest is? It's to represent to God those who trust in him. It says elsewhere in Hebrews, he is able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. I have a high priest who's in the immediate presence of God. He's always making intercession for me. He never sleeps. He's never going to die. He lives forever. He's my personal representative before Almighty God. And my hope is anchored to him. My hope is anchored to the eternal, unchanging Christ. Right near the end of the Epistle to Hebrews, the writer says this, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today, and forever. That's the rock, the eternal rock, in which my hope is anchored.
You know, this powerful image of hope as the anchor to the soul may mean a little bit more to some of us who have lived by the sea or lived by the water, where a boat is out in the middle of the water, just subject to the waves and the wind, and there's nothing to tie on to, there's nothing to be secure. That's the way we often feel in this world. And yet now hope, the hope of what God has done, the power of hope that comes out of the resurrection is the anchor to our soul. It's a powerful truth. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Faith. Explore the mystery, promises, and powers of genuine faith as you read the insightful book, Faith to Live By. In it, Derek Prince answers your questions about faith and reveals how to pray effectively, understand spiritual gifts, and truly enjoy an abundant life. In this easy-to-read book, based solidly on the scriptures, you'll discover what God is saying to you. Order your copy of Faith to Live By now for only $8.95 when you call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Faith to Live By is a hope-filled resource for every Christian who wants to receive the promises of a faith-filled life. Order now. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great to have you with us on this Friday, where we've just completed a two-week series on the subject of hope taught by eminent teacher and scholar Derek Prince. Joining me in the studio today is one of the producers of our show, David Holland. Dave, always great to have you with us.
Hi, Stephen. It's a pleasure.
You know, having listened to this entire 2 weeks of teaching by Derek, I'm just moved by how really timely it is. I mean, right now, at this season of our history, people are preoccupied with war, they're preoccupied with terrorism, they're preoccupied with a difficult economy and political wranglings around the world. And that all of that is sort of like the surging seas of an ocean where a boat is just tossed about. And yet the Bible says that this hope that we're talking about is meant to be an anchor to the soul. It's very much something that this generation needs.
Well, that's exactly right. And I'm mindful that in any span of any Christian life, there are times where things go pretty well. Everything seems to be going all right. But in every Christian life, there are seasons of time in which storms come. And Jesus said that that would be the case. He didn't say if the storms of life come. He says when the storm comes. And the only question is our the house of our life built on a foundation that's solid and rock steady, or is it built on shifting sand.
Well, you know, it's one of the things that really moves me about Scripture is that the Bible is a very realistic, down and dirty kind of book, in a sense. It doesn't say, well, everything's going to be sweetness and light, and by the way, hardship should surprise you if anything bad happens. Oops, sorry about that. It says, look, hardship's going to come. You must go through many trials and many troubles to enter the kingdom. Offenses are going to come, so get ready. And here's how you get ready. You build solid, you build deep, you keep the anchor to your soul, you hold on to your hope. It actually tells us better than any other religious book or any other religion that I know of how to encounter trouble at a horrible time.
That's exactly right. And as we speak right now, at this moment, there's somebody listening who is in a really difficult place financially. There's somebody listening who is having a relationship that is fractured and causing them tremendous pain. There's somebody listening whose children are lost, and they're despairing of ever seeing them come to Christ. Someone is listening who has gotten a really evil report from their doctor. There's a myriad of different things people can be facing right at this moment as they're hearing these words. And the message that Derek's been bringing, and the message we bring to you right now in this moment, is this: God loves you desperately. He's for you. His promises are true. And if you will reach to him, he will meet you right where you are. No matter what you've done, no matter how good or not good you've been, he will meet you where you are with his love and with his grace and with his redeeming, saving power. That's hope.
You know, Dave, I'm keenly aware as you say those words that there are people who are sort of imprisoned in their religious roles, in the roles of maybe Christian leadership. Having been a pastor myself for 21 years, I just have this sense that there are pastors' wives listening, there are pastors, there are religious leaders, perhaps people who teach Sunday school, elders, and even though they're in a role, a job, a situation that requires them to be positive and be hopeful constantly around people, the reality is, and only God would know this perhaps in their life, that they really are hopeless, that they really don't see their circumstances changing, that they feel a little bit like a fraud because they're kind of behind the facade of the role. They're really not feeling that great hope. And when we pray in a few moments, I want to be sure and pray for them because I believe that God specifically intended today's broadcast for them.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I've been there. When you live in a Christian culture, if you work in a ministry, you work in a church, or you're just deeply involved in a church, there is a pressure to put forth a facade of hope, a facade of positiveness that isn't necessarily genuine. And what we're talking about is genuine Bible hope, a real earnest expectancy that God's going to do something and that we need to stand, and having done everything to stand, continue to stand. Those are the folks we do need to pray for.
Well, and you know, having been in that role myself, I know that frequently you can't be real with people. I mean, if the average pastor walked in amongst a group of his parishioners and said, look, I'm not feeling any hope, they'd fire him probably, you know. In other words, they're expected to be perfect at all times. And so sometimes those roles become the very prisons that keep them from the help that they need. Well, tell you what, I'll start us off in prayer and then you take it home and let's pray for the folks who are listening.
Yeah, let's do.
Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus and thank you for the life and the ministry of Derek Prince, and more importantly, and Derek would echo this, the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ, and the fact that he has become the anchor of our soul, the hope that is the anchor of our soul. He has risen from the dead, and that's what gives us hope that all circumstances in all of history and also in eternity can be conquered through Jesus Christ. Father, I want to pray for those listening now who are hopeless, who feel like they have been wrung out like a dish rag, and maybe some of them have even said those words to friends. We pray for now, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will go into their souls and rekindle a living hope, quicken the scriptures that are in their hearts, restore to them, Father, a hope they once had and even beyond. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name.
Yes, Father, and every person within the sound of our voice right now, Father, we ask every person in a dark place, every person in a hard spot, every person desperate, Father, we ask that you would do this for them, that you would make your presence and your love for them known and manifest to them in this moment of time, that they would be drawn to you by your Holy Spirit, and as they draw near to you, you draw near to them. Father, minister your grace and mercy and help to them and hope. Fan the spark of hope in them into a flame, Father, and meet them where they are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Powerful, powerful. Thank you for this time of prayer and ministry with me, Dave. Listen, I want to urge those of you who are paying attention today and who have really received these truths to not walk in these kinds of things alone. It's frequently the isolation and the loneliness that drains hope from us. And so pull aside with some fellow believers. Tell them honestly about where you are in your soul. Have them praying for you because there is a day of restoration just ahead.
That's exactly right. And you can find more resources on the website at derekprince.org. There's a way to submit a prayer request online, and we at Derek Prince Ministries will lift that prayer up to the Lord in faith and expectancy that God will move.
Dave, always great to have you with me. Thanks for joining
Thank
the ministry.
Thank you, Stephen.
Well, listen, it's been great to have all of you with us. Be sure and log on to the website to hear this great two-week series. But that's all the time we have for now. So for everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, join us again on Monday as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order Derek's practical book, Faith to Live By, for only $8.95 when you call 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And remember, for your gift of any amount to Derek Prince Ministries, we'll send you a CD copy of Derek's powerful message, Released from the Curse, as our way of saying,
thank you. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.